People think of great stables in professional wrestling. Of course, you list your DX, your NWO, and your Four Horsemen. And a lot of times when people think the Four Horsemen, they of course think Flair, Blanchard, Anderson, Barry Windham. What is kind of erased from history is that although that is the better version of the Four Horsemen, that wasn't the original version. Arn Anderson's original partner, while Tully did the singles run, was none other than Ole Anderson, who unfortunately passed away earlier this week. He was a wrestler, booker, promoter, member of the Anderson family, which I'll touch on a little bit here, and of course, a founding member of the Four Horsemen. Now, I know, I'll just get this out of the way, he wasn't the greatest individual outside of the ring. Gonna try and focus on his in-ring work and a little bit of his booking. So just the professional wrestling, none of the negative connotation that usually follows the man, whether it's his shoot interviews, which a lot of people enjoy for how infamous they are because he hated everybody, or the rumors that he was a racist Klansman. But I digress.
Yikes.
as I said, I'm going to focus on the professional wrestling here. Now, he did debut in 1967 in the AWA as Rock Rogowski. Rock Rogowski didn't do a whole lot. He was trained by Dick the Bruiser and Vern Gagne, two AWA staples. He challenged for the world title, or the world title and the tag titles. He beat Bob Orton for the Midwest Heavyweight Championship. And he wrestled regularly there until 68 when he moved to Jim Crockett Promotions for the first time. This is where he first began using the name of Ole Anderson. He was then shown as the brother of Gene and Lars Anderson. Both of these guys billed as the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. They were your classic, just technical wrestlers. One of the best original tag teams in the territories. And by adding Ole, they ended up elongating their family, adding some youth. Kind of think Demolition with this, where you had Axe and Smash, and then as Axe was getting older, they added Crush, or even the Fabulous Freebirds, where they added Jimmy Garvin. Just because people were getting older, people were getting cycled out. Lars ended up leaving the territory, and then Ole and Gene would continue wrestling as a tag team. 1970, he did go back to the AWA, again becoming Rock Rogowski, winning the Midwest Heavyweight title again. He again challenged for the Heavyweight title, Midwest title, till going to Championship Wrestling from Florida. There, he teamed with future NWA Heavyweight Champion Ron Garvin, and they won the Florida Tag Team Championships. His first big single success in the NWA was winning the Florida television title from none other than future NWA champion Jack Briscoe. The reign did end 1 week later. And in 72, he returned to Jim Crockett Promotions / Georgia Championship Wrestling. It was in the 70s and 80s that he and Gene would, when you thought tag team wrestling, you thought of these two. As I said, technical prowess. If people thought Ole and Arn were a great tag team, these guys did what Ole and Arn did, but years before. They captured the NWA Georgia Tag Team Championships and the Mid-Atlantic version of the NWA Tag Team Championships. They feuded with everybody. Mr. Wrestling 1 and 2, Wahoo McDaniel, the Briscoes, Dusty Rhodes, Johnny Weaver, even Ric Flair and Greg Valentine, Ricky Steamboat, the Mongols, and Thunderbolt Patterson. An interesting note was that in May of 76, Ole was actually attacked by a knife-wielding audience member, and he got slashed in his arm and chest, needing the reattachment of several tendons and a lot of large stitches.
My bad. I did that. I just get a little
He was
heated when
also
I
the
watch my
primary.
wrestling, you know?
Doesn't everyone?
Yeah.
That's why we have to let people finish the story. But Anderson was the main booker for Georgia Championship Wrestling and had a stint booking for Jim Crockett in 81 and 82. Sometimes he would book for both, and he'd do some of the first supercards of the time, which would later divulge into Wrestle Clashes or what we know as Starrcade. He probably had the most negative effect when the Briscoes sold to Vince McMahon on that Black Saturday, because it gave Vince 90% stake of the promotion, and Anderson, who was still the head booker of the promotion, was now a minority shareholder. He rejected Vince's new direction for the promotion and resigned. He then attempted to start a new company with NWA promoters Fred Ward and Ralph Freed, and they became Championship Wrestling from Georgia. And Ted Turner gave the Championship Wrestling from Georgia a time slot, which outperformed World Championship Wrestling, which ironically at the time was Vince McMahon's show in television ratings. It lasted from August 84 to April 85, when Ole eventually sold it to Jim Crockett Jr., meaning it merged into Jim Crockett Promotions. Anderson was still wrestle at this time. He teamed with a young Brad Armstrong, who of course is the brother of the Road Dog. Ole and Dusty actually wrestled the AEW Tag Team Champions, the Road Warriors, to a double disqualification. And I mentioned it on his profile that we did. Ole actually teamed with Thunderbolt Patterson, and they won the NWA National Tag Team Championship. It was in March of 85 that Anderson reformed the Minnesota Wrecking Crew with Gene, and the duo teamed together until Championship Wrestling from Georgia's final event. Once Jim Crockett Promotion acquired Championship Wrestling from Georgia, Gene retired, and Ole was paired with a debuting Martin Lund. It was this guy that looked a lot like Ole, kind of talked like Ole. You've probably never heard of him. It's just Arn Anderson.
Never heard of him.
You might know him. He was in AEW. He had the Gat
Oh, that one weird old
or
guy?
the Glock. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that weird old man. Yeah, I'm sure he's done nothing in the business.
He was. Let's see. Arn was actually billed, depending on the city, as Ole's brother, cousin, or nephew. And I mean, down south, he could have been all three. Am I right?
And husband.
They were originally known simply as the Andersons. They became the Minnesota Wrecking Crew again, and they won the NWA National Tag Team Championships by defeating Manny Fernandez and Thunderbolt Patterson. They only lost the titles by vacating them because Ole got injured. It was, of course, though, in 85 that Anderson became a part of the Four Horsemen. J.J. Dillon, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and Ole. It's still funny to me how this stable was formed, because at the time, you'd usually have all your baby faces, all your heels. They'd record interviews for the towns all at once. Everyone was there, and because everyone had titles or was always in the championship scene, Arn declared them the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And from there, people started showing up in the crowds, especially as these guys would team up more and more. I didn't mention it earlier, but Ric Flair was said to be a cousin of the Andersons. That's how he got some of his first big pushes in Jim Crockett as Ric Flair. With the Horsemen, Holy feuded with Magnum TA, Dusty Rhodes, Rock and Roll Express, Road Warriors, all the big bases of the NWA. Funny enough, Ole was the first to be kicked out of the Four Horsemen to be replaced by Lex Luger in 1987. Ole actually retired because Bryant, who is his son, was starting his own amateur wrestling career. It's ironic because this is one of those times where kayfabe and real life blended. Because I know they kicked Ole out and they said, "Oh, you couldn't be here all the time. You want to go to your son's wrestling matches." So they wrote him off. He actually reappeared in '88, saving Luger from a beatdown by the Four Horsemen. But this didn't matter because he came back in '89 to help reform the Horsemen once again with Flair, Arn Anderson, and Sting. As it happens to Sting, though, he's quickly kicked out of the group. And Ole ended up retiring to manage the Horsemen. But it's okay, because they replaced Sting and Ole with Barry Windham and Sid Vicious. It's not only the Horsemen that Ole managed, he also managed Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom. Which Wayne Bloom, of course, the father of NXT standout. Oh my god, why did I just lose his name? He's the big guy. Von Wagner. They performed as the Minnesota Wrecking Crew 2. May of 93, Anderson, and Flair again were setting up a new horseman. It was, of course, supposed to be Tully Blanchard, but because he failed that drug test, and it ended up being Paul Roma.
Paul Roma. Isn't that the guy your
Yeah,
fantasy
Paul Roma.
gave like an F in our Four Horsemen tier list?
I think I gave him less or more than an F. I think we had to create a new territory.
Yeah, we had a Paul Roma tier. I
I
remember.
wanted to send him to hell. Ole managed this horseman, but he kind of disappeared, which is ironic because Roman Arn won the tag titles and Flair won the heavyweight title. So, I mean, that'd have been the perfect time to stick around and be manager. He started wrestling every so often in the indies, but in 1990, he began booking again. He was heading it for WCW, and he ended up, he created the Black Scorpion. I'm sure everyone remembers that when we talk about Sting. Another thing that I know happened, which people complained about, is he would bring in. And you figure this was 90, 91, 92. He'd bring in people like the Iron Sheik, who, were past their prime and didn't need to be there. And he would try and give them more time than the tried and true youngsters that were coming up. Ole was supposed to be the Black Scorpion at one point, but it became Ric Flair. Anderson was a referee in 92 and he took over WCW a little bit in 93. But he and his son became a casualty of Eric Bischoff's house cleaning when he took over. After his son got fired, Ole was still with the company, but he decided to call Jim Cornette at Smoky Mountain to try and get his son a job. So the rumor is that because he decided to deal with Jim Cornette, that's what made Bischoff fire him. Bischoff fired Anderson over the phone, even though the day before he spoke to him face to face. From then on, I mean, he pretty much stayed away from wrestling. He, like I said, did a lot of shoot interviews. He put a book out. Just not a lot of wrestling once he was fired in that time. But Ole was known as for his just His old school look, his old school attitude, his tag team wrestling. I mean, multiple tag team championships, a few singles championships, inducted into the NWA's Hall of Fame class of 2010. His tag team of the year with Gene Anderson for PWI in 1975 and 1977. And the Wrestling Observer Newsletter voted him tag team of the year with Stan Hansen in 1982. Ole Anderson, although one of the original horsemen, is probably the most forgotten of this group and the least known about. But I definitely believe that if those out there love tag team wrestling or just love it, as Dusty Rhodes called, clubbing, definitely look up some Ole, Gene, and Lars Anderson matches. I want to say, Lee, Chris, Mr. Perfect. Well, not yet. We're one Four Horsemen casualty away from having a ghost version of the faction.
Oh no.
I think I know who's next. Not gonna say who's next, but yeah. But as I said, Ole Anderson, a fantastic tag team wrestler, and someone who helped define the early days of the NWA. Now, if you liked brief little history lesson like this, but you like it in more bite-sized
Wait, I
content.
think you're forgetting his most important accomplishment, unless I wasn't paying attention.
Oh no. What's that?
He was the voice of the Shockmaster.
Oh, yeah, I did leave that out.
How could you?
Yeah.
Think that's
Yeah.
probably the highlight of his career.
I mean, realistically, that's probably what he's most known for now.
Probably his most
Not
seen,
his.
or I bet
Yeah,
you
not
many
his
people
20
know
plus.
that was him as the voice.
Yeah. Not his 20 plus tag team championship reigns. No, and I'm
No.
sure a lot of people even know, they probably think Arn Anderson did it because the one Raw where they had the Shockmaster happen in front of Dusty to rib him, and it had Arn Anderson off screen doing the voice.
No.
So I'm sure a lot of people think it could have been Arn. But yes, that's just one of the many things in the career. The professional wrestling career of Ole Anderson. But as I was saying, if you like this kind of these little history lessons on superstars that may have been, lost to the history books, the encyclopedia, big recommendation is our PW Profiles playlist on YouTube. We go from individuals like Thunderbolt Patterson, Bobo Brazil, Bruiser Brody, Abdullah the Butcher. These come out in clumps every so often. There's no real scheduling when they happen. It's just every so often we'll pump
Whatever we
out
feel
10 to
like.
15 of them. Yeah,
Yeah.
like 10 to 15 of them. But definitely keep a lookout for those. And I mean, wherever you're listening to this, make sure you like, make sure you follow. If you have the ability, leave a positive comment. We like reading them.
Or a negative one. I like reading those ones too.
I don't so much, but yep, I mean, do what you will.
Do what you will.